Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, Jumah Mubarak, Happy Friday. Tom Hartman here with you. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Our quote for the day from Congressman Charles Rangel, when asked what he thought of George W. Bush, he said, "Well, I think he really shatters the myth of white supremacy once and for all." Later on in our program, we're going to have our Taking Our Country Back segment. We'll get to that. And, of course, Anything Goes Friday, we'll be taking your calls throughout the day at 866-303-2270. And TomHartman.com for our live chat room, AirAmerica.com for our live free, both of these are free, web video stream. And, of course, it being Friday, it is time for our national town hall with our favorite senator. I think of him as America's senator. He's an independent. He's neither a Democrat nor a Republican. The independent from Vermont, Senator Bernie Sanders. Brunch with Bernie. Sanders.Senate.gov is website, by the way. Hey, Bernie, welcome.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Bernie, it is always so great to have you on the show. What's on your plate today?
Well, I think what's on my mind is the same thing that's on the minds of millions of people from Vermont to California, and that is the collapse of the economy. The reports that just came out today indicate 524,000 more jobs were lost in December. The official unemployment rate jumped to 7.2% in December, and that's the highest rate in 16 years. Tom, since the recession began in December of 2007, we have lost over 3.5 million jobs. And if you go beyond the official statistics and you look at people who have just given up looking for work or people who are working part-time, the truth is that the unemployment rate would be over 13%, because, as you know, the official unemployment statistics do not include people who have in high unemployment areas who have given up for work, or people who want to work full-time who are working 20 hours a week. In addition to that, as I think everybody knows, millions of people are losing their homes or in danger of losing their homes. When you lose your job, you lose your health insurance, you lose the opportunity to send your kids to college, you lose the retirement security that you had been working for your whole life. So I think it is increasingly agreed upon that the economics of today is posing the greatest challenges that we have faced since the Great Depression of 1929. This is the issue clearly that we have got to address, and that's what's on my mind.
My take on the bailout package that, or the recovery program that Barack Obama has put forward, is that if you look, I mean, going back to 1980 is really easy, although you can go all the way back to 1913. And what you see is that when taxes are raised, it doesn't significantly diminish economic activity. In fact, in many cases, it actually increases economic activity. When taxes are dropped, it doesn't raise economic activity. There's really no measurable relationship between taxes going up or down and overall economic activity. There is a measurable relationship between taxes going up and down and the amount of national debt and the amount of wealth at the very top, but that's about it. And this Republican meme, this Republican thought virus that cutting taxes is somehow going to stimulate the economy is, in my opinion, A, wrong, and B, I'm frankly astounded that Barack Obama's bought into it. I'm curious your take.
Well, here's – okay, well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you what the good news is and what the area of concern is. The good news is that Obama was prepared to come up with a very substantial – economic recovery program of approximately $775 billion over 2 years. That's a lot of money.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't think he would go that high. The bad news, in my view, and I tend to agree with you, is that about 40% of that amount of money is for tax cuts, including tax cuts which a number of people think are really not going to have any impact on job creation.
Right.
So my view, and I think the view of a number of people here in the Senate, and I expect in the House as well, is that we should cut back on the tax relief, focus it very directly into specific areas, and use more money to create jobs by dealing with our crumbling roads and bridges and sewer systems and wastewater plants, and also make a great emphasis on really starting the revolution in energy, which is so long overdue. We spend over $500 billion a year importing foreign oil, which contributes, obviously, by the burning of fossil fuel to global warming. And I think there is an increased understanding that right now, not only do we have to deal with global warming, but we have huge, huge opportunities to create millions of good-paying jobs as we move to energy efficiency, as we begin to really develop wind, solar, geothermal, biomass, and other forms of sustainable energy. So I think what you are going to see, at least on the part of some of us, as a de-emphasis on many of these tax programs, and increased emphasis on rebuilding our infrastructure, moving us to sustainable energy, and creating jobs in that direction.
That would be good. That would be good. I mean, when you consider that the main driver of an economy is demand, and that demand is the consequence of, by and large, working people spending all the money they make,
right,
then it becomes really obvious that the way to increase demand is to increase wages, is to get people employed.
No, that's right.
And get them employed with a good wage.
No, that's right. And the argument against some of these business tax breaks is, why is a business going to create new jobs if there are not consumers who are going to buy those products?
Right. I mean, I'm a small businessman. I run a business here. You know, it's me and Sean and Louise, basically. But we've got this business. It's called this radio show. And the government comes along and says, hey, we'll give you a $3,500 tax credit if you will hire somebody for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. There's no way I'm going to do that unless I can demonstrate that that person is going to make me $20,000, $40,000 a year back, you know, plus some in order to make it a good business decision. It's got nothing to do with whether or not I'm going to get a $3,500 tax break.
Well, I agree with that. And the other area that you're going to see a lot of attention being paid to is this disastrous financial bailout, which I voted against, being in a pretty small minority here in the Senate. And I think there is growing outrage among the American people that the same people who caused this crisis, and we've got to take a hard, hard look at that, which we have not yet done. The incredible greed, the irresponsibility, probably the illegal behavior of a small number of people on Wall Street who were not content with making 20% rate of returns or 30%. They needed 40%. They needed 50%. They're not content to making $10 million a year. They have to make $100 million a year, $200 million a year. And as a result of those actions, they have taken us over the cliff and endangered the entire world economy. We have not yet taken a hard look at the causation of the problem, and we certainly, hopefully, soon will be beginning to undo the damage of all of this deregulation and the creation of all of these esoteric financial instruments that nobody but a handful of people even understand. So, Tom, that is going to be a huge, huge issue. But that ties into another area that you and I have discussed a whole lot, and that the time is now to understand that this right-wing Milton Friedman, Alan Greenspan, Bob Rubin, if you like, ideology of tax breaks to billionaires, of deregulation, of unfettered international free trade, the whole trickle-down theory of anti-unionism. You know what? If you are a millionaire or a billionaire, yeah, that theory works very well for you. But if you're a working person, you're in the middle class, you're a lower-income person, that theory has been a disaster for you. Before the current financial crisis, the middle class had seen a significant decline in its standard of living, and the gap between the very rich and everybody else had grown wider. One of the points that I will make and remake and make again is that the United States today has by far the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country on Earth, and that gap has grown wider, that it is a moral and economic outrage that the top one-tenth of 1% earn more income than the bottom 50%, that the top 1% own more wealth than the bottom 90%, that we have the highest rate of childhood poverty at 18% of any major country on Earth. Those are issues that we've got to put out loud and clearly, and that at the end of 4 years of the Obama administration, we've got to make some real, real progress on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has to begin now. Paul Krugman, by the way, this morning, writing his op-ed in The New York Times, suggesting that the $700 billion package that Obama's proposing might only be a third of what is necessary, particularly since so much of it is tax cuts. We live in very interesting times, Bernie. We've got a lot of work to do here.
Yes, we do.
Senator Bernie Sanders with us in our national town hall, Brunch with Bernie. Sanders.Senate.gov, his website. Bernie's got a great newsletter. Check it out. Subscribe to it. 16 minutes past the hour. He'll be taking your calls at 866-303-2270 right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3-6
on AM 620 KVOJ.
D.R. Horton invites you to discover townhome living at Brookwood Crossing in Hillsborough. Discover better living, superior floor plans, exceptional values, and the safety and security of an inviting community, with prices starting in the upper 100s. Discover townhome living at Brookwood Crossing today, and discover more than a community, discover an opportunity to stop paying rent and start building equity in your family's future. Townhome living at Brookwood Crossing. Visit us at drhortonpdx.com, where it is now even easier to make your dream home a reality.
Hi, Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is your ally in a bad economy. We'll make sure you're not wasting your money or unknowingly running your vehicle into the ground. We provide value by offering quality service in a logical, prioritized manner, focusing on safety recommendations first, breakdown items next, and then your maintenance needs. Trust is the main reason people use our service. Our clients know we deliver comprehensive, honest, no BS service. We won't sell unneeded or random nonsense. Our service advisors aren't paid sales commission, so you can trust they're recommending services you need, not just building a paycheck. We're an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence facility, and our technicians efficiently service your vehicle right the first time. We offer a no-hassle 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service, and in this economy, our same-as-cash financing can help. Let our existing clients tell you why they choose us. Go to our website at tomdwyer.com and watch the detailed client testimonials. And call us at 503-230-2300. Please let us help you preserve your car and your cash.
You know what it's like. Coffee. The morning after aches and pains have kept you up. Tonight try Advil PM and get a better night's sleep. Better than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with aches and pains and more time asleep. Switch to Advil PM. The difference is a better night's sleep. Use as directed. Brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman program brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. Go to Teamster.org for more information. And a tip of the hat, and many thanks to the Teamsters for helping support our program and keep us on the air. 866-303-2270, our telephone number for Senator Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie, ready to take some calls?
I am, Tom.
Okay, Paul in Schenectady, New York. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hey, Tom, Senator Sanders, Happy New Year to both of you. My question is, really twofold. It's about the financial mess, and you touched on it, Senator Sanders. How much of it do you think the oil speculation and commodity speculation had to do with these banks losing all this money? Because they seem to have over-speculated or overestimated the amount of money we could afford to pay per gallon of fuel. How much of that do you think actually had to do, rather than just the mortgage issue, how much of it do you think had to do with the financial mess we're in? And if it did, what is the Senate planning to do about it? You know, what are they planning to do to correct that?
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul, I would look at it a little bit differently. I think that there is a lot of evidence to suggest that speculation in oil futures have been one of the reasons that the oil market has been so volatile and the price of oil has been so volatile. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that when oil was at $4 a gallon at the gas pump, that a significant part of that did not have to do with supply and demand or the cost of production, but in fact speculation that took place on Wall Street. On the other hand, I think that most people have concluded that the reason for the financial collapse of the major Wall Street companies, that collapse, has everything to do with their speculation in mortgages and the foreclosure crisis.
And the derivatives they're from.
And, yeah, and the credit default swaps and all of these very complicated securitization-type processes where they bundled together and they sliced and they diced all of these mortgages and which ended up not being able to be paid. And you had a ripple effect which brought down some of the most significant institutions in the world. All of which leads us, to my mind, to the conclusion that you simply don't want to go back to where we were before the collapse. That you need not only transparency, but you need significant re-regulation, that we understand what Alan Greenspan and Bob Rubin did not understand, that if left alone, what motivates these guys is greed, and they will do anything they possibly can, no matter how reckless, to make an extra dollar. It should lead us also to the conclusion that if an institution, I've said this many times, is too big to fail, it should be too big to exist. And right now, we haven't learned that lesson because we are allowing institutions like the Bank of America to grow larger and larger, and if it was in danger, trust me, the government would have to bail it out at an enormous cost. So I think we need, as I've said before and will move forward on, we need to take a hard look at these very large institutions, start breaking them up, allow real competition to exist, and not be placed in a position of having to bail them out.
Mark in Los Angeles, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hello, you too. I wanted to ask a question about this stimulus package. But before then, I want to ask Senator Sanders to do whatever you can as a United States Senator to stop this pathetic war in Gaza. All right.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Go ahead,
Mark, Bruce. Did you also want to ask about the stimulus package?
I'm sorry. I thought he was okay. When he said all right, I thought he was done, and so I dropped the call.
Okay. Well, let me just say a word about Gaza, which, as Mark indicated, is a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy, and it is just seeing what's going on there is utterly depressing, and it just reinforces the non-ending cycle of violence which takes place in the Mideast. And it also tells us that after 8 years, it is a little bit amazing that it is France which is trying to negotiate a ceasefire, which I hope happens as soon as possible, and not the United States of America, because, hey, we're only the largest, most powerful nation on earth. Why would anyone expect that we would be playing a dominant role in trying to bring peace to the Mideast with George Bush as president? And I hope that that certainly changes. My view is you got two problems, which I think everyone recognizes. You got a Hamas lobbying, having broken the ceasefire, lobbing missiles into Israel, which is unacceptable. And then I think you have Israel responding in a very disproportionate way in causing just horrendous pain and misery and deaths in Gaza, which is also unacceptable. And my hope is that a new administration will play a leading role in trying to bring these parties in the Middle East who have been at war and hated each other for so many years together, and that we can make the case and do the work with the international community in providing the economic assistance to say that if you do A, B, and C, we're going to help you economically. The goal, of course, is Israel living without fear of missiles or terrorist attacks, an independent state for the Palestinians, and economic development for everybody.
Yeah, very well said. 27 minutes. Thank you, Bernie. 27 minutes past the hour. Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls at our national town hall meeting here, the Brunch with Bernie hour of the Tom Hartman program on Air America Radio. TomHartman.com, by the way, if you want to drop into our live chat room, AirAmerica.com for our live free video stream, and 866-303-2270, our telephone number.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, taking back the mainstream media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. Sanders.Senate.gov is website. Our Brunch with Bernie hour. Lauren in I don't know how to pronounce it. Lauren in Oregon. Hey, Lauren.
Estacada, Oregon.
Estacada. Thank you. It wasn't quite spelled that way on the screen. What's up?
I had an idea for a new law. With the disparity between what CEOs make and what the people at the bottom rung make, I was thinking that we should have a law in place that says that if your bottom lowest paid worker makes $1,000 an hour or $10 an hour, that you should make only, $10,000 an hour, and put some kind of a limit in there as a starting point.
Well, Lauren, I think the issue of addressing disparity in income and the huge gap, which I think recently was almost 400 times what the CEO at a large corporation was making from what the worker was making, and that gap has grown wider over the years. It is much wider than in Japan and many other countries, that it is an issue we have to focus on. I don't know legally that you can do that, but this is what you could do. You certainly could say that a company which has a huge disparity, that above a certain gap, that money is cannot be used as an official expense and be tax exempt. In other words, you can say that if a CEO is making, say, hypothetically 10 times more than 10 times more than the worker, that that money above that cannot be used as an official expense to be written off for tax purposes. That is what you can do, and I think that is what we should do, and I have actually introduced and worked with people on legislation like that.
Another possibility is to roll back the Reagan tax cuts. You know, between when was it Coolidge? Who was president in 1921? In any case, when they dropped the tax rates from 70% down to 25%, you had a 10-year period where people were making multi-million-dollar salaries during the Roaring Twenties. Then when Roosevelt jacked the top marginal tax rate up to 94% from 1935 until 1980, we had no dynastic wealth emerge in the United States. We weren't creating billionaires. That we instead created a strong middle class. Reagan drops the tax rate down to 27%, and all of a sudden, you know, we've got people with all these big paychecks again.
No, again, this is an issue I think as a nation we need to have a huge conversation on, and I think Congress has got to act very boldly. We really have to ask ourselves, when we have 18% of our children living in poverty, when 46 million Americans have no health insurance, when people are losing their pensions, when poverty is increasing, is it really acceptable from a moral perspective as well as an economic perspective that during that same period we're seeing a proliferation of billionaires? So I think we're dealing with a culture of greed, which is, isn't that fantastic? This guy is worth $5 billion, $18 billion. What a great American hero he is. Well, maybe we should be looking at the teacher who's taken money out of her own paycheck to buy chalk or an eraser for her classroom as a heroine. Maybe we look at a small business person who is creating some good jobs. Maybe we look at a cop on the street or the fireman or the nurse. Maybe we make those our heroes and our heroines rather than these multi-billionaires. And maybe we understand, in my view, this is my view, to be honest with you, Tom, you know, a lot of everybody in this world has a problem. And I think some of these people who think that what life is about is accumulating billions and billions of dollars and doing everything they can to do it, I think they got a really serious emotional problem. And I think we mm-hmm. should make that clear. I mean, I don't begrudge people making money. But you don't, what are you going to do with billions of dollars? I mean, you're not going to spend it. You can't spend it. You can't leave it to your kids. And I think we have to culturally deal with that issue to make it not a form of heroic activity to make billions of dollars, but a mental illness, if you like. And I think we need tax laws to move us to a much more egalitarian type society.
Yeah. Speaking as somebody who is for years on the Vermont roster of psychotherapists, putting that hat on, I would say I believe it is obsessive compulsive disorder where the object of the obsession and the compulsion is money rather than washing their hands.
No, and that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, some people can't stop eating. People can't stop drinking. People can't stop doing drugs. People can't stop making huge sums of money.
Yep.
Well, we should understand that as a mental disturbance.
Yeah, I agree. Dimitri in Fairfax, Virginia, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, guys. I want to thank you for taking the call. You know, over the holidays, I was talking with my family, and we were really surprised that there isn't an outrage amongst the American public in terms of the bank bailout, how much money is actually going to these people and how much they're wasting, be it on planes or something else. And I kind of had a radical idea. I mean, I'm sure there are probably difficulties with implementing it. But, Bernie, is there any way that Congress could send each and every American citizen a tax bill to be paid at a future date for the bailout? And so that they know how much went to the bank.
Well, Dimitri, you are – well, first of all, I don't agree with you that there's not outrage. You should see some of the emails that I get from the state of Vermont. And during that whole debate, just the overwhelming number of pieces of communication that I got from my state were against the bailout, and I voted against it for that reason. And now what we have seen is we asked the banks to tell us what they have done with the many, many billions of dollars that they have received, and they say, oh, we're not telling you. We're not telling the American people what we've done. Have you loosened up credit? Have you made the loans that were the purpose for this bailout? Well, we don't have to really tell you. Have you been giving out dividends? Have you been giving out large bonuses, which you have been? Well, we don't have to tell you that. Have you been engaged in trying to merge or acquire another financial institution? Well, maybe that's how we're spending some of that money. So I think Dimitri is absolutely right. I think this bailout is one of the great scams in the history of the United States. The amount of money involved is just huge. But what I want to tell you, Dimitri, we're not just talking about the $350 billion that has been spent. You're talking about trillions of dollars that has been lent out by the Fed with even less transparency and less accountability. And I think if there is a lesson to be learned there is, number one, we've got to understand what happened. We have to hold the people who caused this crisis accountable. But we also have to learn that for all of these years, and Tom Hartman has been so eloquent on this issue, when they talk about, oh, we can't afford to help low-income children, we can't afford to have health care, we can't afford to take care of our veterans. Oh, I guess when the big banks and large multinational corporations need the money, my goodness, we open the coffers in unbelievable sums of money. So I want everybody to understand that. When these guys need the money, it's there. When they need money for the military in a war, it's there. But when the middle class and working families need some financial help, oh, my word, we just can't afford to do that. That's one lesson I hope that is learned from this whole disastrous process.
Yeah, well said. Anna in Phoenix, Arizona. Anna, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I thank you so much. I'm privileged to speak to both of you. I listen on the air as often as possible. I have a question regarding the increase of living. How in the world is the stimulus package going to really give some sense of hope and security to the families who are in such desperate need, not only to hold on to their mortgages, but to keep their family, have some sense of hope that they can send their children to college with $1,000 in the stimulus package? How can that amount possibly be helpful? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm glad Bernie Sanders has covered that the cause of all these problems. You seldom hear about it, and I am so glad that he has at least mentioned it today. I will take the answer off the phone. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Anna, for your call. Number one, I was at a meeting yesterday with other senators, talking with Larry Summers and Dave Axelrod about the stimulus package. The truth is we don't know, nobody knows what's going to be in the package. The Obama people, of course, working day and night developing all of the details. Here in the House and the Senate, people are working as well on it. But to answer your question, Anna, certainly a significant component of that economic recovery package will be funds to help people who have been hurt by this economic crisis. And that means making sure that people who have lost their jobs, people who have lost their incomes, can get some assistance. And that will mean help in education. It will mean help in health care. It will mean help in housing and trying to make sure through the economic recovery program and other legislation that we do not continue the loss of homes that and the foreclosures that we're currently seeing. So we're going to be dealing with hunger in America to make sure that nobody goes hungry, nobody goes cold. Anna, as part of this economic recovery program, there will be significant sums of money to make sure that people do not fall through the cracks and do not lose the hope of a better day.
Bernie, do you think some of the remaining money on the TARP, which I opposed and you voted against, but still it's there and it's appropriated, might be directed toward bailing out mortgagees?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, that seems like such an important thing, keep people in their
houses. In other words, what we have got to do, Tom, instead of just giving this money willy-nilly to these large banks, it has to be focused on the needs of working families and the middle class, and dealing with the foreclosure crisis is certainly at the top of that list.
Yep, you build an economy from the bottom up, not from the top down. Same way you build everything else. Can you imagine somebody trying to build a 10-story building starting on the 10th floor? Oh, boy. Senator Bernie Sanders with us. Brunch with Bernie. Sanders.Senate.gov. His website. Check it out. 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for Bernie right after this.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. online from my desk with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my day tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code BLUE to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, BLUE, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code BLUE. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KBOJ.
You know what it's like.
Coffee.
The morning after aches and pains have kept you up. Tonight try Advil PM and get a better night's sleep. Better than Tylenol PM because you'll spend less time lying awake with aches and pains and more time asleep. Switch to Advil PM. The difference is a better night's sleep. Uses directive brands or trademarks of the respective owners.
Hey, thought you were making breakfast.
I am, with McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
How is that making breakfast?
I'm mixing and matching, you know, putting breakfast together.
We're on a budget.
They're a dollar each. You know, I can't bake warm biscuits or sizzle sausage for that.
True.
I can't put real fruit in yogurt or make crispy hash browns for a buck.
You're so right.
Make your own morning and choose from six wallet-friendly favorites on McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
This was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, well, I do have my moments.
Breakfast served during breakfast hours only.
Wait a minute. No, she didn't just jump me in line. It is way too early. excuse me. excuse me. But I know you saw me standing here. Girl, you are lucky I had a sweet McGriddles and orange juice this morning. Because if I hadn't, whoo, it'd be on.
Start your mornings off on the right track with breakfast from McDonald's. A Southern-style chicken biscuit or McGriddle sandwich is enough to put anyone in a good mood and set a positive tone for your day.
Triple Scores and Reports free as a trial member of Privacy Matters 123.
Do you know your credit score? Chances are you answered no, and you're not alone. Most people don't. But did you know that not knowing your score could be costing you thousands of dollars? See, your credit score affects everything, from credit card and mortgage interest rates to your insurance. But if you knew your score, you could save money on interest rates and more. And only one service provides the complete score, and it's free. By logging on to GetMyScoreFree.com. There are actually three credit reporting agencies keeping scores on you that affect the price you pay from lenders and insurers. If one is wrong, isn't that something you should know? Thankfully, you can check out all three for free at GetMyScoreFree.com. No one else offers that service. For the first time, you can see all three of your credit scores in one place. So get your three credit reports now for free by logging on to GetMyScoreFree.com. That's GetMyScoreFree.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you on the radio, your radio support group for We the People, the Tom Hartman program, and our Brunch with Bernie hour, Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls. Scott in Virginia Beach, Virginia, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Senator Sanders. I was watching the bailout bill on TV right after your amendment was defeated. You were sitting right behind Obama, or President-elect Obama, and I'm looking at his speech now. And he promised us that that bill was going to have an independent commission account for every dime they spent. He said the Wall Street banks were not going to get help without American families being helped. And he said they were not going to allow this money to be used as a welfare program for the Wall Street execs. Every one of those things, just the opposite happened. was wondering, what were you thinking when you were sitting behind him, and do you think he knew what he was saying was just a bunch of BS, or what bill was he voting on?
Thank you,
well,
sir.
I think this is the history of that, Scott, and it's a fair question that you're asking. You'll recall that Secretary of the Treasury Paulson came in after, and this really infuriates me. Tom has heard me talk about this many times. Year after year after year, the Bush administration was telling us how strong the economy was, how robust it was, how the fundamentals were sound and all that stuff. Remember that, Tom? Remember that rhetoric?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, we got a phone call. I mean, I'm exaggerating here a little bit. We got a call from Secretary Paulson. We're on a closed, at a conference call with him, members of the Senate, and he says, oh, by the way, we were slightly wrong about that. If you don't give me $750 billion in a very, very short period of time, the entire financial institutions around the world will collapse. Nothing serious, only that. And that infuriated me, just their lack of foreknowledge about what was happening. What happened after that is many people in the Congress said, excuse me, this is nuts. Of course, we're not going to give you $750 billion or $700 billion to do what you want to do. We have to have A, B, and C in that. There has to be requirements. Just can't give money to you, and you just give it to the banks, blah, 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 blah. Well, what ended up happening is they wrote this very, very long bill. And what Scott is talking about is what I think what Obama was talking about was what many people were thinking was going to be in the bill. I think all that I can say is that he had a lot more faith in the Bush administration than I did. I think you're dealing with the most incompetent administration, certainly in modern history, if not in the history of our country. I don't trust them. So I am not shocked about what happened. Other people, I guess, are. So to answer your question, Scott, I think that Barack Obama honestly believed that there would be requirements in terms of how money was given to banks. Whether or not bonuses were provided to higher-ups, whether or not dividends were paid out. I think he believed that. I think history indicates that he was wrong, as was the majority of the people who voted for that legislation.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Tragic, one of those tragic moments in America, American history. Dave in Buffalo, New York. Dave, you're on with Senator Sanders.
Hello, Tom. Thanks, Senator Sanders, a question. The telecommunications companies, I read in the news, Wall Street Journal, they had are asking for some of the reenactment money to build the broadband in America. We've already given them $15 billion in tax breaks to build the darn thing, and with that money should have gotten us a, like, 0.5 capability. And my question is, where is it? And that at least that part of that capability. And before we give them that money to expand broadband, shouldn't we get some type of representation on that first part that should have been built or can be built? Or I just don't want that money to be applied over the top, and then we lose that first $15 billion we already gave them.
Well, I think, David, you make a very good point. As you know, the United States trails many other countries in terms of broadband access. I can tell you that my state of Vermont, we have communities where business people and kids do not have access to anything resembling a fast internet service, which makes those communities in my state not as competitive as it should be. Clearly, what we need to do is, A, make sure that broadband is universal. Every community in America should have access to high-quality broadband in one form or another. And second of all, we just can't give out tax breaks or subsidies to the companies themselves. I think we have to hold them accountable. It's not a different question than the bailout of the banks, if you like. If we help provide help to an entity, we have to have very, very strong requirements as to what they will do and to make sure that taxpayers do not get ripped off. That has not been the case, and that must be the case. But bottom line is also we need to be very, very aggressive in making sure that we have universal internet service in this country. We've got a long way to go to make that happen, especially in rural areas like my state of Vermont.
And you look at Korea or Japan, and it's just incredible how it's everywhere. Mike in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. My question was, I was listening a couple minutes ago, and I heard you discussing how having, you know, billions and billions of dollars is a mental illness. I was curious about that. Is who decides how much is too much and what crosses that line? I mean, when you think about, say, like Bill Gates and what he's done for our country and our economy and all the jobs that he's created, I just find it difficult to look at that as a bad thing.
Well, Mike, Bill Gates is certainly, you know, I've met Bill Gates, and you're absolutely right. Through his foundations and his work and through Microsoft, has, you know, played an extraordinary role in this country. But I don't think Bill Gates would be a lesser person. I don't know how much he's worth, 30, 40, 50 billion, if he were worth, you know, only 5 billion or 3 billion. My point about that, Mike, is in this country today, it seems to me that what you're talking about, Bill Gates, is somebody who has made very great contributions, and I appreciate that. On the other hand, if we hold up as a goal for all the kids of this country, make as much money as you possibly can, that's your goal in life, I think that that is a bad set of values. And I think public service and the aspect of Gates, which is public service, is commendable. But frankly, I think people can live on less than $40 or $50 billion.
Well said. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, Tom.
Senator Bernie Sanders with the sanders.senate.gov. Check out his website. Coming up next, Anything Goes Friday.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, my friends. 6 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, every time you think you've figured out how sick and twisted this administration and its Republican enablers are, you discover that it's even worse than you thought. This story over at rawstory.com. Although I'm guessing it's probably all over the web. As GM chief coasts, workers forced to accept cuts and strike prohibition. Yes, strike prohibition. Now, when they gave the $300 billion of the TARP money to the banks, they didn't say, by the way, you guys, you have to cut wages. You know, we realize the average investment banker is making $300,000 to $500,000 a year. That's just too much. You got to cut those. No. But here's where it gets truly bizarre. A little known, this is from rawstory.com, a little known provision buried in the Bush administration's $13.4 billion loan package to General Motors will prohibit the United Auto Workers from launching a strike as long as the company receives funds from the federal government. You get that? GM says, sure, give us the money, and pass a law that says it's illegal for the UAW to strike. Not only that, writes the article over at Raw Story, but a strike would give the federal government the power to call in their loan, putting the loan in fault and forcing GM into bankruptcy. The government now has the power to force a bankruptcy, quote, this from the legislation, if any labor union or collective bargaining unit shall engage in a strike or other work stoppage, end quote. Just when you thought you'd figured out how sick and twisted the Republicans and the conservatives are, they surprise you again. Or maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Maybe we should have known all along. You know, they're all running around. We had I forget which one of the conservatives on this show it was over the last week, but somebody on this show said, well, you know, when Jack Kennedy cut taxes, it stimulated the economy. These guys love to say, they love to evoke the name of Jack Kennedy. Republicans love to evoke the name of Jack Kennedy for tax cuts. It is a lie. Plain and simple, it's a lie. Here is Jack Kennedy. The day that this conversation came up, I said, I'll play the clip for you. And then I got off on 16 other things and got distracted, as I tend to do, and I forgot. So here I just have to share. It's only a minute. But this is from the Nixon-Kennedy debates in 1960. This is from the second debate. And Kennedy is laying out what he was going to do. Now, by the way, he didn't do it. It was Lyndon Johnson in 64 who dropped the top marginal tax rate, the top income tax rate on people making more than $3.2 million a year, from 91% down to 74%. That was Lyndon Johnson. It wasn't Jack Kennedy. But it was Jack Kennedy who was proposing it. And he was proposing it not as a tax cut, but as a tax increase, because he and his family were making that kind of money, and he knew that anybody who's making over $3.2 million a year is not paying 91% income tax. So he wanted to close the loopholes. Also, back in that day, corporate taxes were set at around 50%. Now we have a top corporate tax rate of 35%, but in fact, corporations only contribute 9% of the total, between 7 and 9%, depending on the year and how you calculate it, less than 10% of the total federal revenue from taxation. It used to be during the Eisenhower years, when Kennedy was having this debate, it was between 35 and 40%. Of the total tax revenue to the federal government was coming from corporate taxes. Now it's under 10%. But in any case, here's Kennedy talking about what he wants to. First of all, he says, balanced budget is a good thing, but you can blow the budget out if you have a war or if you have a recession.
Yes, I have stated in both the debates, and state again, that I believe in a balanced budget and have supported that concept during my 14 years in the Congress. The only two times when an unbalanced budget is warranted would be during a serious recession, and we had that in 58 in an unbalanced budget of $12 billion, or a national emergency where there should be large expenditures for national defense, which we had in World War II and during part of the Korean War.
So then he goes on to say that his proposal to reduce the top marginal tax rate is going to be coupled with closing so many loopholes that people as rich as him will actually pay more. He says we're going to gain revenue. Listen very carefully.
Third, I think it's possible to gain a $700 million to $1 billion through tax changes, which I believe would close up loopholes on dividend withholding, on expense accounts.
So there you go. We're going to gain money by closing the loopholes, even though we're going to drop the top tax rate. And then he wraps it up by saying, the Republicans are lying about my position. I'm telling you, on this show this week, you heard a Republican lying about Jack Kennedy. They were lying about it then as well.
So in my judgment, we would spend more money in this administration on aid to education. We'd spend more money on housing. We'd spend more money, and I hope more wisely, on defense than this administration has done. But I believe that the next administration should work for a balanced budget, and that would be my intention. Mr. Nixon misstates my figures constantly, which is, of course, his right. But the fact of the matter is, here is where I stand, and I just want to have it on the public record.
And now it's on the public record. As he was saying, he wanted to raise taxes to balance the budget. I have to believe that there are still Democrats who are listening to these Republican lies and believing them. Because why else would this happen? And then we had the call from the caller earlier who said, Bill Gates, he's worth $50 billion, isn't? And Bernie did a great job of handling this, but I want to take it a step farther. He says, how much is too much? Let me suggest that that's the wrong question. The wrong question is, what kind of welfare, essentially, what kind of government subsidies are we going to provide to wealth and great wealth? Right now, if you invent something, if you can lay a patent on something, then it's as if that just came out of nowhere. Like, oh, Bill Gates invented MS-DOS, therefore he should be worth billions. And let me put the caveat on here. I'm not going off on Bill Gates. Bill Gates, everything I know about him, he's a very good and honorable and decent guy. I'm talking about the system here, not about him. But the fact of the matter is that when Bill Gates actually he bought MS-DOS from somebody else. He was a good marketer, and he improved it. But there were other people at the same time who were also offering disk operating systems, DOSes. There were a number of them. At the same time that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, there were two other people who were claiming that they had invented the telephone at the same time and had the proof of it. At the same time that Marconi was getting credit for the radio, there were other people who were saying that they invented radios. At the same time that Westinghouse and Tesla were arguing about AC and Edison was talking about, the bottom line is that inventions don't come out of nowhere. Inventions are built on the shoulders of hundreds of thousands of previous inventions. There's virtually no such thing as an invention. There's only an improvement. And I would submit to you that we are wildly overcompensating with our patent laws. And this was something that Jefferson was absolutely outspoken about. He did not think that a patent should last more than 3 years. In fact, he wanted it written into the Constitution. Read his letters. You can probably find these online. I've actually quoted them in several of my articles. You'll find them quoted in my book, Screwed. In his letters to James Madison in 1787, when he was in France, he was the envoy to Paris, and Madison was helping write the Constitution, and he said he was going to have the Virginia delegation, who were all loyal to Jefferson, sabotage the Constitution if Madison would not put a Bill of Rights in it. And one of the things that he wanted in that Bill of Rights was a limit on corporate monopolies, which is patents. Because he felt, 3 years, let them make some money for 3 years, and then it goes back into the marketplace and they get to compete. And what we are seeing, and Disney really led the charge on this, but what we're seeing with patents and trademarks going out to, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, now they're at 70 years, as I recall, the lifetime of the inventor plus 70 years, and things like that, is that we are wildly overcompensating people who make realistic and significant contributions. And we're wildly undercompensating, as Bernie pointed out, the people who are the real heroes of America, our police officers, our firefighters, our teachers, the people who are literally keeping us safe and creating the next generation's, the human capital of the next generation. So the simple answer is, number one, our patent laws and trademark laws are crazy. They're totally out of whack. And number two, our income tax is totally out of whack. We need to roll back the Reagan tax cuts.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign. Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
And now for the bonus round. John's uncle's cousin's mother's friend is what relation to John?
Curmudgeon.
Correct. How many ounces are in an anagram?
8.26.
Correct. How much do Netflix members pay in late fees?
Nothing!
Correct! Netflix. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered in about one business day. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix.
See terms of use.
Brought to you by Orbitz.com. Worried about the price of your flight dropping after you book? Don't be! Only Orbitz has price assurance, where if another customer books the same flight as you for less, we'll automatically send you a check for the difference. Book at Orbitz.com and never overpay.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Yes. It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
So anything goes Friday, 21 minutes past the hour. Your calls on pretty much any old topic you want to talk about, or if you want to get me started off on some rant, I dare you. 1-866-303-2270. Gary in Miami, Florida. Hey, Gary.
Good afternoon, Tom. It's very nice to speak to you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
And I'm also an outraged citizen of this country. I think this country was founded on the idea of taxation without representation being something that the American people would not stand for.
Yes.
And right now, everyone's dilly-dallying around, worrying about the automotive industry and $25 billion and getting all the executives up there and the unions and this sort of stuff. And in the meantime, in my mind, in the mind of many Americans, the largest heist in the history of the world is going on with the Bush crime family letting trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars go out without any accountability to the American people.
Yeah, these guys make Bernie Madoff look like a piker.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Talking about $7.5 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars. When is the Senate and the Congress going to get to the meat of the matter here and hold hearings on what has happened and where this money has gone and who is going to be held accountable for this tremendous heist?
You know, there's perhaps apocryphal story. Al Franken used to like to tell the story about how when Franklin Roosevelt was president, and I forget the details, who approached him and what it was about. I think it had to do with the integration of the military. But in any case, whatever it was, the guy said, you should do this. And Roosevelt said, yeah, I agree, I should do it. Please make me do it. The answer to your question, Jerry, and I realize it was not a rhetorical question, when is Congress going to take these things on? When are they going to start doing the right thing? They're going to do it when we force them to. That's the bottom line. They respond to pressure from us. They're political animals, and frankly, that's how it's supposed to work. And so when thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans, and Bernie made a reference to this, all the you know, angry email that he was getting about the TARP program, which he opposed, you know, supporting his position and opposing it. When members of Congress, this is how they, you know, this is how the illegal immigration thing, you know, that McCain and Bush were pushing, you know, how that got blown up is the American people said, no, we don't want this. So the bottom line, Gary, is that and thank you for the call and for raising the issue, is that when enough of us get sufficiently angry or outspoken, actually. I mean, it doesn't even have to do with emotion. It has to do with action. Convert your emotions into action. When enough of us contact our members of Congress, and we've got a website, callcongress.org, which is just, you know, it's just a page on my website that redirects to a page on my website where there's a list of toll-free numbers that you can use to call Congress. And you can, and it gets you to the switchboard on Capitol Hill, and you can ask for any one of those 535 members of the House or the Senate. And so you can ask, every single one of us, unless you live in Washington, D.C., has one member of the House of Representatives and two senators. So that's three people that you can call. And telephone calls are the most effective. Writing letters, problem is it takes, you know, sometimes as much as a month to get there because they've got to go through anthrax detectors. Sending faxes, by and large, they tend to get ignored these days. Emails are almost always ignored now because they're so easy to generate. The thing to do is to call. And if you get to Washington, D.C., knock on their door. Or even more important, go to their local office in your local community because they know for sure then that you're a local person. And just show up and very politely, very nicely say, you know, this is what I think. And keep it to one topic. And that's how we change the way that our democracy is behaving. David in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hey, Tom. You've been talking a lot this week about the tax cuts and everything being proposed by Obama and everything. And I was just, you know, we have our governor here, Governor Pawlenty, who did sign Grover Norquist's No New Taxes pledge.
Right.
And since that has happened, our property taxes have gone up 10-12% every year for the last 7-8 years. Our fees, everything has increased. So when these cons come in and say we're not going to raise your taxes, it's hidden into everything.
What they're
else.
Really saying, David, is they won't raise taxes on they won't raise income taxes on millionaires and billionaires. Period.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Tom, I'd like to elaborate on your theory with the CEO pay, with the stock options and the CEOs being, you know, not investors but stockholders.
Yeah.
Another thing, I read this article, and it was very good, and it ties into that, and it was these since these guys need to have their stock options, their stock prices higher, they also – that's led to these fraudulent accounting practices.
Yes.
Through the deregulation as well. So
yeah, there's a great article about this in Harper's, I think it was, the week that I was on the Air America cruise. I read it on the cruise ship, and then I lost the magazine, and I've got to track
the
thing back down.
And one other thing, Tom, did you know that Paul Wyckoff passed away? I don't know if I've heard you comment on that. And
I didn't
he passed
know that.
Away. Yeah, Paul, yeah, Mr. Wyckoff, like, yeah, a couple, of, that's probably a week and a half.
You're talking about the Iraq veterans guy?
No, I'm talking about not Paul Wyckoff. The guy who doesn't want the Republican conservative.
Oh, you're talking about Paul Weyrich.
Paul Weyrich, sorry.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call
Paul Weyrich, here at RIP. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, I knew he died.
They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now.
That's Paul Weyrich. He doesn't want anybody to vote.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Living life like a son.
34 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program, the True People's Radio. Well, right here in Oregon, over in the town of Medford, the, see, here's the problem. We just passed this law that says that you can't smoke in bars and restaurants at all. I mean, you know, it used to be just bars. And can't even smoke in bars. And so this guy sets fire to the no smoking sign. Yeah, he's a 44-year-old guy. I don't have a name for him, but he's in jail on a $6,000 bail. Don't set fire to the no smoking signs in Oregon. I'm telling you. It's a problem. Is it Cretine? Am I pronouncing that right? In Tempe, Arizona?
It's Christine.
Oh, Christine. I'm sorry. Hey, Christine. Hi, welcome.
I wasn't able to get through to Bernie, but I have real concerns over the possibility of Obama's restoration, the economic stimulus package, and in its rebuilding the schools may cause schools to become poisoned FEMA schools. And I know that if they're not really careful about the materials that go in, especially in these remodeling projects, they could become toxic for the students and the teachers.
Yeah.
That happened to me in a work situation, and I've been cooked ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that it doesn't happen across the nation. And a lot of these people that have been in these poisoned FEMA trailers, they're going to have this immune system problem now for the rest of their life.
Yeah, you're right. And it's something that more and more people are becoming sensitized to, and
right.
Rightfully so. And this is a really critical issue. Again, Christine, I would suggest that, you know, you share your concerns, and this might be an appropriate thing for a letter because it's maybe a phone call to all three members, you know, your three nationally elected representatives. And don't forget your state officials, by the way, as well, even though they may not be voting on the restoration and recovery program or whatever it's called here. But they will still have influence in the party, and their voices are heard. So excellent point, Christine.
They'll have some influence over the schools in our state.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, this is our backyard that's being built in, so let's build it right. Well said. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Excellent point. Mateo in Chimayo, New Mexico, listening on KRTZ. Hey, Mateo, what's up?
Hi, Tom. We spoke last week real quick about our Organizing for Change meetings we've been having out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you inspired me to call when you're talking about how we have to make our representatives do the right thing. And we're doing it here. We're
good,
unbelievable. Our meeting went so well. We had like 30 people come up, and these are all people with a lot of good energy. We're going to do an inauguration event in the evening. We're going to do a day of service.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to make these representatives do the right thing. Our education committee is all over putting together what we need in our area. And I just want to chime in with you and say, anybody that's ever organized in their life, they're dying for leadership. You know, I'm just a carpenter, but I've been putting these meetings together, and people are just totally behind it. It's a great time.
Yeah. Thank you, Mateo. Well said and well done. And this is the big difference between Barack Obama and the people who have been running this country since Ronald Reagan. This is the thing. In fact, I would say that probably Barack Obama shares in common with some of our better and more noble presidents, Franklin Roosevelt, John Kennedy, Jimmy Carter in many regards, is that he actually wants to respond to the people. Whereas many of our other presidents have hidden away from the people. They've tried to avoid, not necessarily avoid interaction with the people because they love getting out in front of crowds, but they're not asking the people to get politically active. Obama is aggressive. He's doing the exact same thing Franklin Roosevelt did, reaching out with his fireside chats, and Jimmy Carter did, where he was doing his version of fireside chats, particularly around the energy crisis. And that is trying to reach out to people and say, you have to be active too. We don't have a functioning democracy unless the people who are members of that democracy are active. Otherwise, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So, Todd in Seattle. Hey, Todd, what's on your mind today?
Hi, this is Todd.
Yes, you're on the air, Todd.
Sorry, I've been waiting. I'm at work. Yeah, I was calling because I wanted to talk to Bernie Sanders and his answer about Israel occupation and attack on Palestine. And I wanted to ask him, what is Congress doing? what are they actually? They're allowing basically a genocide, you know, on a people who should understand genocide and not questioning it in any way, shape, or form. So I'm wondering, what is Congress doing? And the obvious answer is nothing, since AIPAC owns them.
Well, there's a more simple answer to that, Todd, and
that
Congress doesn't have the power to, you know, I mean, they could declare war, but basically what you're talking about, if you want to bring Hamas and Israel together to try to work something out, that's not the job of Congress. That's the job of the State Department.
Congress gives money to Israel every year. Eisenhower was the last president who told him, stop it, behave, or you lose your money.
Well, actually, you're right about that.
Eisenhower said that.
You're right. You're right. And that was over in Egypt.
The Egyptian attack.
So
it was the French and English-backed Israel's attacks.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right on that. Todd, I stand corrected. Thank you very much. And Congress could be speaking out, particularly given the absolute incompetence and failure of this administration to do or say anything about this. And here's the problem. George Bush, and I believe George Bush doesn't believe in talking to people he disagrees with. And I believe that this is a result of his upbringing. This is the direct product of his upbringing. Carl Wolfson and I were talking about this morning on KPOJ, and you know, I shared this clip, one of Carl's favorite clips, of Barbara Bush.
And so many of the people.
By the way, let me set this up. She's in Houston at the Astrodome, surrounded by refugees from Hurricane Katrina, as people are drowning in New Orleans, and she's just written a $35,000 check with the stipulation that it must go to her son's business to buy school supplies from her son so she can get a tax deduction. Anyhow, she's looking at all these people on these cots, the people from, you know, the refugees, if that's the right word, from Katrina.
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Yes, they were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them. And George Bush, his entire life, he was born a multimillionaire. He was born into a family of affluence and protection. I don't know quite the word. Isolation in a certain way from the rest of the world. He lived in a bubble. And I am convinced that through his life, he went to private schools. He went to the very best private schools. He was born in Connecticut. He went to Andover Prep School. He was a cheerleader. That was his extracurricular activity. Went to Yale, went to Harvard. That at any point in his life, if there was somebody that he didn't like, all he had to do was ignore them. Or he could, you know, get the people who were hanging around him, because he was the rich guy and they wanted to hang around with the rich guy. And later, when his daddy became, you know, a politician, the famous rich guy, his sinkle pants would get rid of the person that he ignored. And I think probably most of us have seen somebody like this in our lives. And the reality is that, well, maybe that works in high school. And if you're rich enough, maybe that works throughout life. And you know, when he owned the baseball team down in Texas, you know, maybe that works. You know, he could just ignore the people he didn't want to deal with, and they would come on their knees begging to him because they needed his money, they needed his blessing, they needed the job. But it doesn't work in international relations. And George W. Bush has said that the United States will not talk to Hamas, and we will not talk to Hezbollah. And as a consequence of that, the groups, the people who will talk to them, in this case Egypt and France, are the ones who may well be able to broker a peace. And why can't we? Because we're following George Bush's grade school idea of how you treat other people in a very sophisticated and complex world. And he is just so pathetically wrong. William in Miami. Hey, William.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to thank you for speaking with us the other day regarding fingersalutetobush.org.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks to you and your incredibly informed audience. We're getting a lot of response, a lot of interest, and you can see there are a lot of people that do want to have some sort of accountability.
It'll be interesting to see if any of that gets picked up in the corporate media on the day of the inauguration. Fingersalutetobush.org is the website.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get additional volunteers to help push it towards the media and to make local contacts and international contacts. Today we've received the first 25,000 instruction cards have been printed. They're a thing of beauty, Tom. On the website, if you go to the print cards, people can download them for free. And it has the picture of Bush and his own gesture, where it says, "You've given it to the world. Finally, we give it to you. Exit the White House. Enter the Big House."
There you go.
So people can print them down for themselves and have their own souvenir.
Good on you, William. Fingersalute2Bush.org is the website. Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. JB in Half Moon Bay, California. Hey, JB.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, listen, I called. You've been discussing the tax policies and all that for quite some time now.
In 6 years
back in the late 70s, early 80s, I was paid very well. I had an excellent salary. My wife.
Hey, JB, I totally missed a break cue coming up. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Let me put you on hold. I'll pick you up on the other side of this break because you're only halfway into your sentence. And it's just, you know, not right. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. See, even I have to go along with the breaks. It's the rules. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog, what name it could be.
Promise, because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw.
I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Look at this mess. I cannot believe the kids left all these empty soft drink cans. Looks like I'm stuck cleaning it up.
Well, hi there. I'm your local GEICO representative.
Why are you in my recycling bin?
Oh, I was just reading last week's paper. Anyway, because I'm located right here in town, I'm always close by. So if you ever need help saving money on car insurance, I'm never far away.
Wow, you are close by.
You bet. Oh, this is for you.
What's this?
It's a coupon for frozen lasagna. See? I'm already saving you money. Oh, and at Tuesday's double coupons.
Wow.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local GEICO representative is always close by.
Your local GEICO office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local GEICO office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
KPOJ and Clearwater invite you to join us at the Crystal Ballroom Tuesday, January 20th for the People's Inaugural Ball, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. The ball's free with a ticket from KPOJ and a suggested donation of 2 cans of food. Entertainment at a silent auction, a couple of fun things to expect. Keep listening to KPOJ for complete details on how to win your tickets to this 21 and over only event.
And that's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Hi, my name is Stanley, and I've been arrested for stealing shoes. I didn't really steal them, but I've been sent to Camp Green Lake anyway. The worst punishment a kid could get. And at Camp Green Lake, we dig holes. Lots of holes. I've only been here a short time, but I think the camp director is up to something. I'm Stanley Yelnats, and I'm covering more than dirt at Camp Green Lake. Explore new worlds. Read my story in the novel Holes by Lewis Sacker. For other great book ideas, visit your local library or log on to literacy.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right. Oh, I've been watching you and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. Chinese. You blew the budget and you bossed Iraq. So I'm taking my country back.
Yep, taking our country back one congressional district at a time. Now you thought it was all over. No, it's not. There are still elections happening. And this is an important one. Rahm Emanuel has gone off to become the chief of staff for Barack Obama, and his seat is up for grabs, as it were. There is a campaign, an election going on. And Tom Gagin is with us. He's an attorney and author based in Chicago. His name is spelled kind of unusually. You might want to actually write this down, because I trying to type it into the web, I got it wrong twice. And you want to, I mean, just you do these things. It's Tom, well, the website is Gagin for Congress, forcongress.com. But here's how you spell Gagin, G-E-O, as in geography, G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N, G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N for forcongress.com. Tom Gagin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much for being here with us, and you know, I want to just encourage my listeners to get over to your website, see what your positions are, and toss some bucks your way so that you can run in this campaign. We need a good, solid progressive in Rahm Emanuel's House seat. The special election is going to be on March the 3rd. Do I have that right?
March the 3rd, Democratic primary. It's on the it's fast forwarding this election process.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, give us your elevator speech here.
Tom, there is no elevator speech, but quickly, I'm the labor lawyer candidate running for Congress, and I'm running because we have a window of opportunity in this country. Maybe only 2 years, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to rewrite the social contract between citizen government, between employer and employee. And what I'm promoting as a labor lawyer, union side, is much more than just the Employee Free Choice Act, as strongly as I support that and bringing back unions and higher wages. You know, it's time America had a wage increase, and I hope to be at least competitive with David Bonnier, the last great pro-union congressman who was in Congress, in pushing that. But we need economic security of a kind that the Democrats, the career politician Democrats, aren't talking about, and that's why I'm running. First, we need to increase the public pension in this country, our Social Security payout, from 39% to 65%, not overnight, but at least make a commitment to get there, to get to the same kind of levels that other industrialized countries, Germany, Sweden, pay out in terms of a public pension, because we don't have a private pension system anymore, and people can't pull equity out of their homes to keep going. Second, I want single payer, because single payer
health insurance
is health care, because that is not only the only way we can get Medicare spending under control so we can spend more money on Social Security, but also because we have to get the government to take non-wage labor costs on itself so that our industry is more competitive globally. We do something about the trade deficit. We bring back jobs. And third, I really think that to become competitive again, we have to put real limits on the returns that the financial sector can pull out of the real economy, the globally competitive economy, the manufacturing base in the country from which we get our middle-class standard of living. We've got to put caps on interest rates that banks charge, on the returns banks get, on the kind of financial speculation banks do, and we can do that by bringing back the old usury laws that used to exist up until the Reagan era. We can do that by putting government-appointed directors on these boards that we have bought equity into and promoting goals that you know, are consistent with the well-being of the middle class and working Americans and not financial speculation and gambling. That's
Tom,
the element.
Tom, you are singing my song. It's really great to have a true progressive candidate running in the Democratic primary and ultimately in the election. Any just quick thoughts on who the Republican's going to be on the other side when the once the primary's over?
Some lone hapless individual. You know, it's a Democratic district, yeah. So the Democratic primary is everything.
So this is the election. The primary is the most
sure.
important election.
And Tom, I want to say there are the other Democrats running. I think they're decent people. They'll probably come up with liberal voting records. That's not why I'm running. I'm not running to reproduce a liberal voting record, although I will. I'm running because I'm trying to change the conversation in the country, the kind of issues that the Democrats back away from talking about and should be talking about. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm in the race.
Yeah, and in fact, in the past, we have rarely had candidates on in primaries because it's essentially an implied endorsement, I suppose, getting somebody on the air, although I don't endorse candidates generally. But this your record and your positions are so needed right now in America, and a number of people have spoken out on your behalf, from The Nation magazine to The Wall Street Journal, Thomas Frank out there speaking about you, Katha Pollitt, others. We're talking, by the way, with Tom Gagan. His name is spelled G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N. And Tom, maybe you know of a better way for people to remember how to spell your name, Gagan for Congress.com.
Yeah, I've got a much better way of spelling it, which is if people want to find out more about the campaign, just Google www.tom09.com, and it goes straight into Gagan for Congress. So you don't have to go through what I did in the first grade, second grade, third grade,
right.
As well as my classmates.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wish I'd known that. Tom09.
Tom09.com.
.com. TOM09.
Yes.
.com is the website. Okay, great. So
09. This is the first real post-meltdown election in the country. I think people were caught off guard in all the candidates and all the parties by the speed with which Wall Street collapsed
right. And
the bailout occurred. This is the first election that has taken place since the full scope of the crisis has become
And this is a crucial one. TOM09.com, the website for Tom Gagan for Congress's website. And, Tom, good luck.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks for being with us. I truly appreciate it. 57 minutes past the hour. We're going to pick up JB's calls and all the rest of you right after this break. Back to Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, Craig Harrington has this great piece over at economyandcrisis.org, which I believe is Craig's website now, It recently changed ownership in the last year or so. Economyandcrisis.org, one of my favorite websites. Frankly, I don't know much about their politics, but their economics are absolutely right on. And he says, attorney and former mayor Ron Kirk is President-elect Obama's choice as the new United States trade representative. Kirk's past views on free trade made his appointment somewhat startling at first. Now it seems nothing less than a huge mistake. Ron Kirk believes that free trade will play an important role in driving the economy out of this recession, writes Craig Harrington. An obvious sign that Ron Kirk either has no clue what he's talking about or really does not care about the fate of this country. Yes. Yes. You're singing my song. Free trade is simply a way of saying we will give control of the world and the U.S. economy to transnational corporations. JB in Half Moon Bay, California. JB, thanks so much for waiting. I'm sorry we ran up against that break, and then, of course, we had a guest scheduled. So your turn.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the so-called Reagan tax cut of 1982. For many of us, it was actually a tax increase. If you'll recall,
for working people, it was.
You carped on it about the varying brackets, and I think they were up to 75% or so before the so-called Reagan tax cut.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate back in those years to have a very nice salary, and my wife worked. She had a very nice salary, so we had a lot of discretionary income, let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So back under the old laws, we were encouraged to buy capital goods and lease them. So, for example, I bought a capital good, got a 10% investment tax credit, and leased it to a company that used it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was I would get, of course, I got the ITC right off the top, and then I was able to depreciate it every year, plus the cost of maintenance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so my theory being at the end of that period, I would recapture that money based on what I sold it for minus the depreciated value.
Right.
So I was encouraged to take my excess income and invest it back into the economy.
Yes.
Now,
your phrase, JB, of capital good, for people who don't know what you're talking about, this would be like a piece of manufacturing machinery.
Yes.
It could even be a copy machine. But basically,
in my case, it was an airplane.
Yeah, okay. In your case, it was an airplane.
It was used by a fixed-based operator to go out and fly people and make money.
Right. So the way the tax law was set up was if you bought that and then you leased it out to somebody, you could depreciate it, and then when you sold it, you'd make the money back. And in the meantime, you made some money on the lease, and everybody wins.
That's correct. Now, the Reagan tax cut took that away from us highly salaried individuals and gave it only to corporations. And so you had to be a large corporation to get these same benefits. So as a result, my tax bill went up significantly.
Hmm.
And much to my chagrin, when I talked to my tax man, my God, you know, I'd had to write a huge check at the end of the year, which is over and above what was withheld. And I said, my gosh, what can I do to reduce my tax bill? And he says, oh, have more withheld.
Yeah.
And so this was the so-called Reagan tax cut. Now, the discussion you're having and the discussion I'm hearing everywhere, we're discussing tax cuts, which I think tax cuts, at least for high-salaried individuals like I was back then, would be a mistake. What I would like to see is, rather than tax cuts, tax deductions or additional means of lowering your tax burden by forcing people or by making it attractive to people to spend excess income and put it back in the economy, which is what we used to do before we got the Reagan tax cut.
Right. We used to use tax policy to encourage manufacturing, to encourage the development of infrastructure, to encourage small and local businesses, to encourage entrepreneurship. We used to use our bankruptcy laws, by the way, to encourage entrepreneurship, because the bankruptcy laws were written in such a way that if you were going to take a chance, if you were going to risk everything you had on starting a business and you failed, you could always start over again. And those support systems and that safety net of the bankruptcy laws have all been stripped away over the last 28 years as a consequence of both Republicans and the conservative Democrats in Congress and in the White House who've done this. And just, you'll love this, JB. Over at Fire Dog Lake, Jane Hampshire, who's just brilliant, has put together a graph. It's actually from Mark Zandi of MoodysEconomy.com. And it lists the return on investment of federal activity, financial activity, okay? So, in other words, if the federal government spends
say they spend $100, say they spend a dollar, just to keep it all in simple dollars, say they spend a dollar on salary to somebody at a make-work job. That person then is going to take that dollar and they're going to buy food with it, and then that, and then, you know, at the local store, and the local store is going to make a profit on that, and they're, and that's going to allow the guy who owns the local store to be able to buy, you know, new clothes for his kid, and then that's going to, you know, and it echoes through the economy. And so there's a multiplier effect. Now, some things don't echo through the economy. Instead, they have a shrinking effect. And here's the breakout. This is from Moody's. Food stamps, oddly enough, are the number one thing. Food stamps, a dollar spent on at the federal level on food stamps produces $1.73 in economic activity in the economy. Expanding unemployment benefits, a dollar spent produces $1.64. Infrastructure spending, bridges, roads, tunnels, highways, airports, things like that. A dollar spent produces $1.59 worth of economic activity. Aid to states, a dollar spent, $1.36 in economic activity. Payroll tax holidays, a dollar spent, $1.29 in economic activity. Refundable tax rebates, a dollar spent, $1.26. Temporary across-the-board tax cuts, a dollar spent produces $1.03 in response. Now, this is like what Bush just did with his cut. Non-refundable tax rebates, a dollar spent produces $1.02. Now, here's where it gets really weird. Extending the ATM patch, a dollar spent produces 48 cents in activity. A dollar making dividends and capital gain tax cuts, a dollar spent produces 37 cents worth of economic activity. Cutting taxes for corporations, a dollar spent produces 30 cents of economic activity. Making the Bush income tax permanent cuts permanent. This is the cuts on the top 1%. A dollar spent produces 29 cents worth of economic activity, and accelerated depreciation, a dollar spent produces 27 cents worth of economic activity. So there you see it. I mean, Moody's has just laid it out.
Well, yeah, I remember back when doctors and lawyers and airline pilots and other highly salaried individuals would form together in limited partnerships and build apartment houses for people to live in, with the idea they could depreciate these things and eventually get their pay at a capital gains rate rather than the normal income rate.
Yeah, and they were called tax shelters, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because they were tax shelters that were organized in a way that promoted economic activity.
Absolutely, and that's my whole point. So all this discussion about tax cuts, I think, is bogus. I think it should be tax increases with the old tax incentives like we used to have prior to the so-called Reagan tax cut.
Exactly. This is what Jack Kennedy was talking about, that speech in that debate with Richard Nixon that I played the clip from, was using the tax code in this way. And instead, what George W. Bush did is he came along and he said, you know, you just don't have to pay that much in taxes. We'll just borrow the money from our children and grandchildren, and you can put it in your pocket. And what did high-income people do? They put their money in Swiss banks accounts. They put their money in the Chinese stock market. They put their money with Bernie Madoff. It produced nothing.
That's why even Obama is not discussing tax incentives. He's discussing tax cuts.
I know. I agree. JB, I gotta move along. But thank you very much for the call. Very, very well said. And yes, and this is why I've been saying from as soon as I got wind that a third of the stimulus, first of all, the stimulus, under $1 trillion stimulus, is nothing. It's not going to be enough for the economy. And secondly, if a third of it is in the form of tax cuts, rather than, as JB said, reorganizing the tax code, essentially, if it's in the form of tax cuts, it's going to have a negative effect. It's not going to be a good thing. It's going to be, so Rig in Los Angeles. Hey, Rig, got a minute before the break. What's up?
Okay, I just want to say real fast that I think that King George Herbert Walker Bush should return the $14.5 million he took for his half-hour speech to Global Crossings Limited, the telecommunications company that went belly up.
Right.
And all the investors lost their money because he and Gary Winnick, who has been accused of fraud, and he hasn't gone to trial, probably because of Bush's manipulative puppeteering from his place. He's treated like a grand old man of this country. I don't know how the public gets away with this thief. He's head of the crime family. That whole damn family are so crooked, and you got so many dummies out there voting for him. He's even going to some of the Hollywood events, and now that he's in with Clinton, they both stink.
Yeah, and this goes all the way back to Prescott Bush and his support indirect support for Hitler.
Yeah, but
Brown Brother Harriman and all that stuff.
Yeah, but do you know that $14.5 million for a half-hour speech, that should be investigated. The
yeah,
LA,
you're
the
right.
LA
That's...
Times, and now they've removed it from the files.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Rig. That is not a speech fee. That is a payoff. Rig, you're absolutely right. That's a bribe.
You don't pay somebody $14.5 million to give a 30-minute speech. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen. 16 minutes past the hour. Unless you're going to get something really big out of it.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
If you had purchased gold 2 years ago, you would have seen a $10,000 investment be worth over $18,000 today. And the good news is that gold continues to be at only 40% of its previous high in 1980, considering inflation. And some experts predict gold could reach as high as $2,000 an ounce, which means investors could potentially turn a $10,000 investment into over $20,000. Now, every investment has risks, and past performance does not guarantee future returns. But you owe it to yourself to get a free consultation from the professionals at Blanchard. For over 30 years, Blanchard has helped people invest wisely in gold. In fact, Blanchard even gives you a buyback guarantee. So call for a free, no-obligation consultation on the coins that are positioned right now to give you solid returns. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity, and Blanchard has an attractive radio offer for those who call today. So call 888-730-GOLD. That's 888-730-GOLD. Don't wait. Call 888-730-GOLD. 888-730-GOLD.
Ed Schultz.
We are the country of pink slips, no doubt. 467,000 more unemployed last week.
Noon to 3.
4.6 million drawing jobless claim benefits right now in America. It's like the Obama team is going to take over in 11 days, shouldering all these problems.
The Ed Schultz Show.
And the Republicans are trying to do a hell of a job of making all of us think that it's our fault.
Noon to 3.
They haven't changed a bit.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620kpoj.com.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-300-6619. That's 1-800-300-6619. Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Brought to you by Orbitz.com. Worried about the price of your flight dropping after you book? Don't be. Only Orbitz has price assurance, where if another customer books the same flight as you for less, we'll automatically send you a check for the difference. Book at Orbitz.com and never overpay.
I was on I-5, or maybe it was 101, but it was head to toe in the granny lane, and I was hauling about 25 ton when a little old skate with a bright red wrapper tries to put the hammer down. He cuts me off, and he hits the brakes, and I nearly mow him down. Now, you ought to give Riggs one car length for every 10 miles per hour. We need breaking room with 18 wheels and 600 pounds of power. If you cut us off or you ride a tail, you'll surely be pressing your luck. You see, Smokey is a friend of mine, and the ticket is $101. Well, my ride along, the man in blue calls ahead to Mama Bear, and that little red rover is now pulled over spending money like a millionaire. Now, $101 ain't no chicken feed, but in truth, it could be worse. It's a better price to pay than having to ride home in a hearse. So when you find yourself on the road with trucks, be sure to give us plenty of room, because extra patrols are going on now and you might meet a mayor real soon.
A message from the Washington Traffic Safety Commission, 10-4.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming, but we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
And welcome back to Anything Goes Friday. We're going to take a brief pause here from Anything Goes and get into
geeky science.
I'll show you just how cool scientists are. We study everything, that's why we're cool. And yes, most of us got high marks in school. And proud. Paleoanthropology.
Geeky science rocks. Okay, and anti-obese, just some of the science news of the week. This is my favorite thing to share with you. And then we'll get back to your phone calls here in just a moment. An anti-obesity pill that works. I've actually been taking this stuff for a couple of weeks. Resveratrol. I guess you could argue I've been taking it for about 20 years because it's the ingredient in red wine. Thomas Jefferson had 2 glasses of red wine with dinner every day of his life. Well, of his adult life. Red wine contains resveratrol, although you need to drink so much of it to get a therapeutic dose. This is the anti-aging, apparently anti-cancer compound that now there's a whole bunch of vitamin companies that are selling extracts that are, you know, the equivalent of drinking 3 or 4 bottles of wine without the alcohol, or maybe 5 or 10 or 20 or whatever. But anyhow, they tested this in mice and found that when they fed the mice a high-calorie diet plus resveratrol, the mice did not get obese. Amazing. Here's another one. The human heart requires a certain amount of sleep every night to stay healthy. This was in the Journal of the American Medical Association. People who are sleep-deprived, persons who slept 7 hours or more, only develop 6% coronary artery calcification. But people who were sleep-deprived had 4.5 times the risk of heart disease. That's 450% more heart disease for people who are sleep-deprived. They're not sure exactly why. They think maybe the sleep might affect hormones such as leptin that regulate body weight, appetite, and metabolism. But quoting from the study, several studies have shown that if you sleep-deprive an individual for a few days, you have hormonal changes that tend to increase appetite, make the body relatively resistant to insulin. These are factors, risk factors for heart disease. Speaking of insulin, spikes in blood sugar can take a toll on memory. It turns out when your blood sugar goes up inappropriately and frequently, it harms the dentate gyrus. It's a part of the brain within the hippocampus that helps form memories. So you're wondering where your short-term memory has gone? It might be that candy bar you ate yesterday. Researchers said the effects can be seen even when levels of blood sugar or glucose are only moderately elevated, a finding that actually may help explain age-related cognitive decline. Since glucose regulation worsens with age, in other words, the older you are, the more important it is to avoid the sugar. Glucose regulation, by the way, improved with physical activity. Walk a half an hour every day. It will solve so many problems. This is an interesting story. A mixed-race British couple. This has happened to this same couple. It is I believe it's a white woman and an African American man, or an African man, a black man, British man. They had twins, fraternal twins, not identical twins. One was light, the other was dark. Twice. They've had babies twice. Each time it was twins. Each time there was a light one and a dark one. This is very unusual. It's not impossible, but about 1 in a million times. Interesting. The solar activity is scheduled to start declining sometime over the next little bit here, and there are concerns that as the sun goes into its solar decline, that could be a problem for astronauts because the solar winds protect astronauts from radiation from deep space. On the other hand, there's also the 11-year cycle, which seems to be going up, and when the sun is in its active phase, it can unleash powerful magnetic storms that disable satellites. So it's like you can't win for losing. Anyhow, the next peak in solar activity is expected to come around 2012, the year that the Mayan calendar ends, and some folks think the world will end. I don't, but, you know, anyhow. Scientists have tricked bone marrow into releasing extra adult stem cells into the bloodstream. This is fascinating, and this may tie back to, did you know you've got inside your bones, you've got stem cells. And nobody knows why it is, but they do know. These are studies that were done by the Red Cross back 20 years ago or more. They found that when people gave blood twice a year, when men gave blood twice a year, or non-menstruating women gave blood twice a year or more, their risk of death from all causes except accidents dropped by about 25%. Less cancer, less heart disease, less, you name it. And nobody knows for sure exactly why. Menstruating women have a 25% decline in the risk of death compared to non-menstruating women and to men. But when non-menstruating women and men start giving blood twice a year, their risk of death declines. Nobody's sure why, but one theory is that since blood cells are made in the bone marrow, this stimulates the bone marrow when you lose blood, when you give blood, which I did last week. In fact, I got this hole in my arm here. When you give blood, then what happens is it causes your bone marrow to have to throw off all these cells as it's producing new blood cells, and some of those cells are the stem cells that are in the bone marrow. And these stem cells then run around the body and repair things and rejuvenate it. Finally, the game Tetris, the video game Tetris, has found to help PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Nobody's sure why. I'm sure why. If you've read my book, Walking Your Blues Away, that book is all about how bilateral therapies, moving the eyes from side to side, moving the body from side to side, actually helps treat post-traumatic stress disorder. And Tetris, your eyes are moving back and forth, left, right, left, right, left, right. So there's something for you. Interesting things. Our science news for the week. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, remember earlier in the week, Russ Baker was on his new book, Family of Secrets, about the Bush family? This is Kitty Kelly's book, by the way. The Family is still a brilliant read. And because there was a news blackout on that book, I actually got the press, the statement from the, I think it was the RNC, as I recall, politely asking the media not to interview Kitty Kelly. And they didn't. She had like a one-day PR tour, and then it just, boom, went right in the toilet. But The Family, her book is brilliant. But Family of Secrets, Russ Baker has written a new version, basically. It's a little less Kitty Kelly-ish and a lot more political, but it's brilliant. And you can see an excerpt of it over at commondreams.org. Shock and Oil by Russ Baker. It's the second thing down. I wanted to plug that because I'm a fan of Russ, and I'm a fan of his book, And of course, a fan. There's so many great progressive websites out there. I have a new book review up on BuzzFlash.com, which we will. I think we're going to get the author on next week. We'll be talking about. And of course, I regularly post my articles first time on CommonDreams.org, a great website. And there's a bunch of other ones out there. We had Tina Brown yesterday on the Daily Beast, etc. So, Nora in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Nora, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi. I'm calling back with the rest of the story when Alan Nairn returned and Democracy Now! Mm-hmm. But first I want to say, pigs go home in solidarity with the people in Oakland. My only child died at the age of 22 in San Francisco, so I have a lot of feel connection with these poor people. And also, we have an epidemic of cops tasing black guys to death over here, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway... And that was shooting, this was tasing. But the part about Alan Nairn, the journalist covering Indonesia, mm-hmm. and what happened in 1999 when Admiral Dennis Blair, who was the now, he's now been picked by Barack Obama. He was at that time
National
head
Security
of the
Advisor.
Pacific Fleet. And here's what happened. Alan Nairn got transcripts that were... classified, that told about the meetings and what the specific opposition is, that when the admiral received orders from the White House and Pentagon to stop the support of the militias that were massacring the people in East Timor, and they had just done a massacre in a church and with machetes when they put the entrails up on the walls of the church. And at that time, 1999, the White House, which was Clinton at the time, sent out the message to the admiral to stop supporting these militias. And the admiral disobeyed the White House and the Pentagon, and continued on with supporting, and the massacres continued.
Yeah. Well, Nora, thank you for the heads up on that. You're not the primary source of the reporter. I need to track this down and get this right. But thanks for letting us know. Dimitri in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hey, Dimitri.
Hello, Tom. Great show. Yesterday, a conservative caller called you up, and he compared Barack Obama's tax breaks for the middle class to welfare, and he expected you to cringe as when Harry Reid hears the word filibuster.
Yeah.
They succeeded.
Where's my fainting couch?
Yes. Yeah, they succeeded in demonizing welfare, whereas in reality, welfare is the last bastion of defense that the worker has against job offers that are simply too low.
You're right, Dimitri. And when Bill Clinton said this is the end of welfare as we know it, I remember thinking, I don't think that's such a good thing.
Absolutely. It only increased homelessness and poverty in this country.
Yes.
And I hope you'll do a whole show on the subject, because you talk a lot about free trade and tariffs. But to put this country back on the right track, we have to drive a wooden trident through the heart of the old vampire, Ronald Reagan. We got to bring back the tariffs. We're going to bring back the unions. And we're going to give every citizen a minimum income, as it is in Western Europe.
In just three or four years following his passage of the Great Society, Lyndon Johnson cut poverty in this country by at least a third, and by some measures as much as by half. And those of us old enough to remember America before Ronald Reagan, we didn't have homeless people on the streets.
And now there are 3.5 million.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Literally,
imagine an America without homeless people. When homeless people started emerging during the Great Depression, it shocked America's conscience. When Reagan became president and he dialed back on the Great Society programs, and he cut off funding to mental hospitals because a small minority or a significant minority of homeless people, at least before the current economic crisis, are just, you know, people who are mentally ill. When that happened, then all of a sudden we had homeless people in America, and some of us, you know, there was some shock and there was some horror, but by and large it was ignored by the media. And then you get people like Rudy Giuliani, you know, when he was mayor of New York, and you know, his response to homeless people, yeah, was just to brutalize them, you know, to be so horrible toward them that they would go to Brooklyn, you know, instead of Manhattan.
They succeeded in demonizing the poor and turning the middle class against the poor.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Obama says that we are all one nation, the rich, the poor. And I think Obama is wrong. The rich are not friend of anyone who is not rich. And unless the middle class and the poor realize that, they're always going to be poor. They're always going to be miserable.
Yeah. Well said, Dimitri. Thank you very much. Sid in Seattle. Hey, Sid, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a long-time listener, actually, from the day before we went on the air up here.
Oh, great.
Pardon?
I said great. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for your insights. I'm an amateur scholar citizen, and there's something that's really frustrating concerning me. There seems to be an information vacuum concerning what Israel's been doing for a long time and is doing now. For example, most people, and I talk to a lot of people, I found no one who knows that only one Israeli citizen was killed by a rocket from Gaza last year, none in the last 6 months, whereas Israel bombed 6 people to death in November. They shoot at fishermen and won't allow them to fully go out into their territorial waters. They immediately arrested 20 of Hamas officials who are still in prison, who are going for a political solution, much like Hezbollah is now. And I'm part Jewish. This is right-wing... the right-wing Israeli lobby, I think, and it just really frustrates me, and I'm just, what do we do about that?
Ray Hanania was on the show twice, actually, over the last 2 weeks. He's a Palestinian-American, and his comment was, and then we also had the fellow from jstreet.org, I'm forgetting
his
name.
Yes, I heard them.
Who is,
I'm on their website, as a matter of fact.
Who's a great guy who's Jewish and who is, you know, this is a lobbying group, a pro-Israel, pro-peace lobbying group. And Ray's comment, I thought, was a particularly...
Well, he's Palestinian, right?
Yeah, Ray Hanania, the Palestinian. I think his comment was particularly touching. He said that our side, his side, you know, the Palestinians in America, have spent so much time fighting among themselves and arguing about, you know, strategy and what to be done, that their voice hasn't been heard.
that, and I'm probably badly paraphrasing what he said, but basically he said his side has not done a good job of getting their story out. And whereas the other side has done a very, very competent job of getting the story out. And the tragedy, frankly, in my mind, is that we're even talking about sides. Look at how the PLO has gone from being a nobody will talk to them pariah terrorist organization to now, you know, Mahmoud Abbas is like, you know, the guy that that Israel can deal with, you know, in the West Bank.
He was selected by Israel, and you know, I mean,
the point is that the PLO has been largely rehabilitated, and I think that they can you want to have somebody that you can work with. I think that Hamas could have become a group that Israel could have worked with, and Israel could become a group that the Palestinians could work with. But there hasn't been an honest broker since Jimmy Carter left the White House. Jeremy Ben-Ami is the guy from J Street, by the way. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Look what happened to to President Carter. He stuck his neck out. He couldn't even get invited to the Democratic National Committee.
I know.
And yet Haaretz in Israel, they cover way more than what he's saying, the Israelis.
I know. That's the point. I've spent a lot of time in Israel. I've spent a lot of time in other countries in the Middle East as well. And I'll tell you, in Israel, they are covering these debates. They're having these debates in the Knesset. They're having these debates in the media. They're having these debates on the streets. And in the United States, when you try to have that debate, you get nailed for it. And
exactly.
Let me tell you, you know, you should see my email. But I think it's really important that there be some more balance in the discussion. Frankly, I think it's starting to happen. It is, but it's not being driven by the United States. It's being driven by the rest of the world, which is, you know, condemning the disproportionality of this response. Time will tell. But hopefully, as the Bush administration leaves and the god-awful failures of the Bush administration in this regard are behind us, you know, we're hearing the stories right now, leaks. I don't know if they're intentional leaks, setting things up, or if they're how it's getting into the press. Because the Obama folks have been very good about being very tight-lipped, but we're hearing now that they're reaching out and sending diplomatic feelers to Hamas.
Because Rahm Emanuel is not a good guy, and he's the gatekeeper. And the power of Israel.
But he's not.
Really,
no, he's not the guy in charge, though. And whether he's a good guy or not, I mean, you know, Rahm Emanuel is very pro Israel. I frankly don't know his position on Hamas and the PLO. But you know, I think most Americans are pro Israel. I don't think that what Israel is doing right now is the best thing for Israel. And that's the debate that's being held, that's being had in Israel as well. But whether it's Rahm Emanuel, no matter who it is, the bottom line is Barack Obama is going to be making the decisions. And as I said before on I think the issue of taxes and things, we're the ones who have to hold him to account. We're the ones who have to say, listen, this is how the American people feel. This is what we want done. Sid, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back. 866-303-2270, although I think we may have Talk Radio News coming up after the break. Do we, Sean? Hopefully. We'll see. Get our news fix for the day now that we've had our science fix. Stick her up.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Remembering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I speak out against this world because I'm disappointed with America. And there can be no great disappointment where there is no great love. I'm disappointed with our failure to deal positively and forthrightly with the triple evils of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. America has strayed to the far country of racism and militarism.
Dr. King's dreams coming alive today.
Join us in celebrating on Air America and AirAmerica.com.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. You know, the hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a quality contractor. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a great plumber, painter, mechanic, heck, even a dentist? I'll tell you who to call. Call Angie's List. Angie's List is a growing collection of consumers' real-life service experiences. Use real reviews to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. Join today at AngiesList.com or call 1-888-888-LIST. That's AngiesList.com or 888-888-LIST.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhoads.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself, so there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhoads Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Since the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins, there's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-500-8257. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-500-8257. 1-800-500-8257.
Fox Sunday. The wait is over. Jack Bauer is back. And the only thing that lies between freedom and fear is 24 hours.
We need Mr. Bauer immediately.
TV's greatest thrill ride returns. Get ready for an all-new season of 24.
Jack Bauer. Didn't know you were FBI.
Nah, just came along for the ride.
With the nation under siege, a new president will be tested.
We cannot let this monster hold our country hostage.
Be careful, Madam President.
Now, with CTU gone, there's only one man in Washington, D.C. who can stop it.
Mr. Bauer, we have a national security matter that has gone critical.
What do you want me to do?
Whatever it takes.
Kiefer Sutherland stars in an all-new season of 24.
Let's go!
The heart-pounding two-night, four-hour premiere event starts Sunday at 8, only on Fox.
The new season of 24 starts Sunday night at 8 on Fox 12 Oregon. Then stay tuned for the 10 o'clock news.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. One of the perks for KPOJ listeners is getting exclusive deals from our loyal advertisers. Here's one you can't afford to pass up. During January, Floor Trends Northwest is offering free basic installation on any carpet purchase over 50 yards. That's a savings of hundreds of dollars. They're also offering up to 50% off all overstock carpet and hardwood. Now is the time to take advantage of these huge discounts only for KPOJ listeners, only at Floor Trends Northwest in Selwood.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to Louise Hartman, to our executive producer Sean Taylor, to Stephanie Whiteman, Shelley Osterberger, Marcus Hillman, Michael McDonald, Herbert Quinones at Air America, to Sue Nethercutt and the folks in our chat room, Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. Thanks so much. And thanks to Victoria Jones and all the great folks at the Talk Radio News Service for providing us with a daily news fix and working out our radio rows and helping us put together our coverage, which we will be doing live from the inaugural event. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you for you.
Thank you very much for you.
You're welcome. So what's going on in the news today?
There is a lot going on in the news today. Obviously, we start with the jobless rate jumping to 7.2% in December and losing 524 jobs. This is the highest three-month total since the months immediately following the end of World War II. So this is huge. It's even bigger than had been expected, and we see no reason why it shouldn't continue that way. Barack Obama addressed this briefly earlier today when he rolled out his intelligence picks. Also, of course, we have the impeachment of Governor Rod Blagojevich. We also have the interesting ruling by the Illinois Supreme Court, which has just handed down its decision on Roland Burris's lawsuit to force Secretary of State Jesse White to sign Burris's certificate of appointment to the Senate. And their decision is that they're not going to honor his wish to force the signature because they say he doesn't need it. And what this does is that this kicks it back to the Senate. So this forces Harry Reid to do something about it. So it looks very likely that Roland Burris will be seated.
Harry's going to need his smelling salts again. Okay.
Yes, he is. Meantime, Labor Secretary-designate Hilda Solis's confirmation has been taking place today, and she's been grilled by the Republicans over a number of issues, including her co-sponsorship of the Employee Free Choice Act, which, as you know, Republicans have a big problem with. This is an act that would allow unions to organize without staging a secret ballot election. But she refused to answer questions on this, saying that she only had to review the legislation. She says that she hasn't spoken about the issue with President-elect Barack Obama. But she also refused to answer other issues, saying that she didn't believe that she was qualified to address them at this time. And she this did not go down well with Republicans who were asking her questions.
Yeah. My response to the Republican outrage that she's, you know, not answering the questions right and she's a big supporter of the Employee Free Choice Act is they can, well... I can't say it on the radio, but in any case.
Understood.
I don't have a lot of compassion for these guys.
Understood. An interesting ruling by a federal judge today in a case by Crew, a watchdog group, who have been trying to get Secret Service logs that would let them know what conservative religious leaders had been visiting the White House. This has been going on for some time. And U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth has brushed aside the government's argument that revealing the Secret Service logs would impede the president's ability to perform his constitutional duties. And they've been holding back the Secret Service logs and refusing to let them become public and to find out who has been visiting the White House. The federal judge has said, no, these have to be turned over.
And now are they going to appeal it to the Supreme Court, or are they just going to procrastinate, or, you know, are they going to actually, for the first time in 8 years, follow the law?
It's too soon to tell yet. They haven't stated yet. That ruling has literally just come down.
I mean, a federal judge said that they had to turn over the 5 million missing White House emails too, and those are nowhere in sight.
They may let the clock run out.
Yeah, yeah. And
they may let the clock run out.
And then the question is, will somebody in Congress pick up that baton? And John Conyers, in response to somebody saying, "Are you guys going to prosecute the criminals in the Bush administration?" said, just hang out. You just wait. You know, it's in other words, he's well. We'll see.
It's very interesting. Now, I'm sure you saw the report in a British newspaper today that the incoming Obama administration is going to be getting rid of the Bush doctrine of isolating Hamas.
Yes.
And is planning to open a low-level channel to
Yes.
Hamas.
Yes.
So I asked the White House Deputy Press Secretary today whether, in light of what's going on currently in Gaza, they were not perhaps rethinking their rule of not speaking to Hamas, and perhaps they, looking back, they might think that they perhaps should have spoken to Hamas all along.
Mm-hmm. And the answer from the White House was what, to your question?
You will not be astonished that their answer was that their position has not changed.
So they,
no.
But they did, yeah, right. But they didn't comment on whether. I guess it's implicit that they think that this is an unwise move by Obama.
They didn't comment at all on the move by Obama. They will not comment on anything that the incoming administration plans to do.
Yeah.
They stay away from anything that the incoming administration plans to do.
Yeah.
They will not talk about it. The only thing that they will talk about is anything that has to do with the transition, anything that is logistical. That's the only thing that they will talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was interesting, and I think the question had to be asked in light of what had come out, and in light of the UN resolution also being passed 14-0, calling for an immediate ceasefire, a resolution that the US didn't sign on to.
Yes.
We abstained. Interestingly, top American commander responsible for Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, said yesterday that Afghanistan would require a sustained substantial commitment from the U.S. and other nations. But he also talked about Iran. he hinted that talks with Iran could be feasible, but he little bit backed away from that. But he also said that security in Afghanistan would not be possible militarily only, and required a diplomatic and economic commitment as well.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he's still working for George Bush, but this is a guy who's looking at the future. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. On Monday, Robert Moffitt of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We're going to discuss health care, Carrie Lucas, the Independent Women's Forum. We're going to talk about the stimulus package and, of course, the best of the rest of the news and your calls and everything that's going on right here on the program Monday. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.